Welcome back.
Welcome back. I'm David.
And I'm David. And we are...
Back.
I keep thinking we're going to say something fun there, but I don't know. It's
At some point, we'll have some witty comment to have when we get back from being back, other than I'm David.
It's true. Hello. I'm David. I don't think you want us to present like that the rest of this time.
No, should we start again?
Okay, let's cut that. Wait, let's edit that out.
We'll just edit that out.
Anyway, let's keep going. Right now, we're going to go talk about Windows Azure Active Directory and how you can connect.
Yeah.
How you can connect your on-premise Active Directory to Windows Azure Active Directory.
Excellent.
Take it away. There we go. All right. First off, we're going to give you a little idea of where we're headed. We're going to tell you about the synchronization options. And, there's a lot of misunderstanding about what you can do here. So hopefully we can clarify those options that you have. And then assuming that you want to move forward with a federated and a dir-sync option, and I think you probably will based on what I tell you here, we'll give you more details on some of the things you need to think about architecting that scenario. And then finally, we'll end on getting that scenario done inside of Windows Azure using the Quick Start Guide. Synchronization options. All right. First, there's a little bit of housekeeping here that we need to clear up. There's a lot of different names for different sign-in accounts out there. On the left-hand side, you see personal services. And there would be things like your Live ID, or Hotmail, Outlook, right? Your Xbox account, your SkyDrive account. Examples would be, Outlook.com, Live.com. We refer to those as a Live ID or now, really, a Microsoft account. When you see some of the dialogues in, let's say, Office or documentation, most things, I think, now will be saying Microsoft account. Those are all one and the same. Where we have a lot more names is on the right-hand side for organizational services as up in the cloud. For things like Office 365, Dynamics CRM, Windows Intune, these, sometimes I've heard people call them on Microsoft accounts because they're always going to have that on Microsoft.com domain name, right? They're also sometimes called org IDs, but the technical proper name these days anyway, is organizational account. And this is really something that is in Windows Azure Active Directory. It does not have to be a on Microsoft.com domain, although all on Microsoft.com domains are going to be organizational accounts. But you could also, if you federate or connect or synchronize those identities up into that Windows Azure Active Directory, then at that point, those are then going to be organizational accounts as well. Okay. I think that clears that up. All right. We've got three major options here with the big premise here of how do I get these users that I have on site to be up in my Windows Azure Active Directory? Because, right, you're going to have a user that is out there, let's say out here. You got a friendly little guy. He's smiling. What happens is this guy, right, needs to go to your Intune or your corporate app and then needs to authenticate into that service somehow so he can get access, right? Well, the first option is, you may call it a non-option, but is no integration. And what will happen here is you can do a number of things like export all your Active Directory users. You can even have the same domain name, contesto.com, up on Windows Azure Active Directory, but effectively you're making an entire separate copy of that user with the same username or potentially a different username. In this case, we see Joe at msonline.com or on Microsoft.com. And really, there's not much synchronization there, right? I mean, you could try and mimic things by, like I said, exporting and importing those users using a CSV file. There's tools for that. But you've got two separate physical user accounts to authenticate and two separate passwords and password policies, even though the username may be the same. The next option is directory synchronization. And this is what I see a lot of customers doing because quite frankly, it's the easiest. And what happens here is you install this dirsync tool on your domain controller in, I'm sorry, not on your domain controller, on a member server inside of your domain. And what will happen is it will do a one-way synchronization for that user up to that Windows Azure Active Directory database. And the thing to point out right now is that this is one way, right? There is no, hey, I changed this guy here, let me go back. No, that is not going to happen, right? It is one way, and to date, it does not do password synchronization. So you've got the same synchronized user database using the same domain name across both sites, but the password policy at this time anyway is going to be different. And we'll talk about some options on how that can be different here in a little bit. Okay, so the next slide, right? Directory synchronization options. There's a number of tools or things here that go along with dirsync, and by no means am I going to read all of these points here.
I
but
think you should.
Okay. Supports Exchange Co.
Okay, no.
Okay. All right. Maybe not. but it's there for your reference to know all the different customizations. The one thing that I want to point out is Forefront Identity Manager. It's a product that sometimes doesn't get recognized, but if you are doing anything with multiple forests, you definitely want to evaluate Forefront Identity Manager, because that is going to be able to connect you up to third-party sources, kind of synchronize multiple forests. There's a lot of different options and power within Forefront Identity Manager, even more than just synchronization, right? You can create workforce for users. You have password resets. There's a lot of other things that go on there. And in fact, a little geeky note here is that if you install dirsync, you might realize that if you go to what programs are installed, you'll see that a FIM synchronization agent is installed, even though you don't technically own or have FIM. So it uses FIM as part of the process to do that directory synchronization. So I'll leave those there for you. When it comes to synchronizing your passwords, you can use third parties that are out there, use FIM. That is something we're investigating, I'll say, as far as making dirsync synchronize passwords, but there's nothing really new to talk about there yet. Okay. Let's go to the next slide here, and the last one is the directory and federated single sign-on. And what's going on here, okay, is that you probably are going to use this in combination with dirsync because you still need to get those users up into the Windows Azure AD. So what you do is the dirsync, which is the same as the previous option, okay? That same user account gets copied up there. But what's different is what happens in terms of the authentication, okay? Because we now have established this trust using ADFS, the password is no longer stored in this directory, right? What happens is this user that goes to authenticate will connect to the Windows Azure AD, and then it will know, oh, okay, I see this guy in my database, great, but what I want to do is go back into the ADFS server, get this little token, right? This little token, that's my token drawing. it's a good one, right?
You're pleased to have a day job.
Yeah, that's true.
And it's not drawing.
That's drawing with the mouse is not my expertise. And then from there, what you'll have is that token come back, really to the user, I should say, wherever they're at, and then that will authenticate them into the site. So this is great, right, because you have one consistent set of password policies, which is mastered on-premise. You also have a synchronized user database across all of your services in Windows Azure AD. And I'm going to give you a little more, another slide here next on some additional details. And again, this is just more for your reading and understanding. The main things that I want to point out is there are other alternatives if for some reason you wanted to use something outside of ADFS. Because ADFS uses standard protocols, there are other options to do synchronization. And I'll let you read that for yourself and dig in more later. Let's break it down. All right. So you've seen kind of the three options. What are you going to pick? Which one do you want to do? And you have to make this decision, really, in your environment. You can move between those, but it is generally better to try and have a rough idea what you want to do at the start. Okay, for no integration, what is who is it really for? Well, if you have a really small number of users, I mean, I'm talking a handful, probably maybe no more than 10. It might work out for you, right? You don't care. Either you don't even have an on-premise Active Directory, or you don't really care about people having two separate passwords, right? You can let them just go about it themselves and do their own thing, and you don't really add or remove users ever. That's possible, although not likely. That would be one of the things that you're going to do. Pros to that, right? It's not going to require any servers on-premise. And the same domain name could be used, but you really don't get a lot of the other functionality. So if we go to the next option, which is the directory-only option, really just doing that dir sync, what you're going to have is a synchronized set of users, right? That's one of the really positive aspects here, in that you're not going to have to, every time there's a new user, do some kind of manual or scripted process to attempt to synchronize the user databases. And it's really simple because you just install that agent on a member server in the domain and let that go at it and synchronize at a regular interval, right? The cons to this is that you're not going to have single sign-on, and at least for now, by default, you're not going to have the password synchronization. So you are going to still have two sets of passwords. And we announced that we are going to have this phone factor deal is going to allow two-factor authentications for a limited scope. So that that link there will give you more details on that. Finally, this really has tons and tons of pros, and you can understand why. When I say single sign-on with corporate credentials, here's what I mean, because there's different types of single sign-ons, right? You could have some people say, hey, single sign-on is just the same username, and that is not necessarily the case. And also some people say same username and even password, but you have to type your password in every time even though it is the same. Well, with this third option, you truly can have, and I'm going to show you that in a minute, single sign-on where you log into your corporate machine, that's it. You can now authenticate, log in to any of the services that Windows Azure Active Directory has and have no other issues. It's great. You can set all kinds of complex password policies that you have on-premise. You don't need to change anything there. There are lots of options for two-factor authentication possible utilizing ADFS. And you also have, you can do things like location isolation. So if you only want people in certain places to authenticate, ADFS has a way to address that. And if you're doing multiple forests, it really is almost a non-issue. You're really going to want to go with this. Just to make things a lot easier and not doing some complex dir sync FIM scenarios in your environment. And really the only con, and you'll see why this is a con that you definitely need to consider, is that it does require additional infrastructure to support this solution. Okay. With that being said, what I was going to do, just to give you an idea of what is Windows Azure Active Directory, I get that question sometimes. It's funny, I did a presentation once. I showed all this stuff, and I had a guy, he comes up to me, and he's like, I want to see Windows Azure Active Directory. I'm like, I did. I showed it to you. It's right, I did the demos. He's like, no, I want to see it. And I'm like, I had to go through this whole thing with him, like, go back to the demos that I showed, and be like, look, it's right there. So this is what I'm going to show you. I'm going to try and make that clear. What is Windows Azure Active Directory visually? Because it's sometimes hard to see. Because for those of you who are used to Active Directory, right, you have this DC. You can see the role that was installed, and you can click on the tool that's there, and you can see your users in there. This is a little bit different of a scenario. Okay, so let's go into the demo now. And what I'll do is what I'm going to do is spin up an install once I have my screen back, there we go, of what it looks like for the console. What I have here is a corporate joined machine that happens to also have all of this federation architecture set up in place. So what I'm going to do for you now is give you kind of that end user experience of what it looks like and what's possible with once you have this federated scenario there, as well as give you an idea of what does it look like, the Windows Azure Active Directory database? What is it? What does it look like? So the first thing I'm going to do is log in to, let's just say, Office 365. Okay. When I log into Office 365, I'm going to use my corporate credentials. Now, keep in mind, remember I mentioned single sign-on. I wanted to intentionally make sure I had one initial prompt just because, so you can see that what happens when you first do this. Now, if I clicked Keep Me Signed In, it would be done. I would never have to click a password again. Once I click Next, you can see, hey, we're taking it to your organization's sign-on page. That's because it knows that I have a federated domain name. And when I click Next, it's going to utilize my corporate credentials in order to authenticate me into this service. And so you notice I never typed a password, okay? I never typed a password into that site. I only typed my username. ADFS did all that authentication for me. The next thing I want to show you, this is just the administrator console for Office 365. And what is Windows Azure Active Directory? Where does it show up? Well, if you go into users, you'll see here, these are my corporate users that I have in my account. You'll notice there's also two different icons there. I've got this little synchronization icon, and I also have this person icon. The difference being that those little synchronization ones are from DirSync. DirSync has moved that account up, synchronized that account up into the cloud from my corporate credentials. And then these user ones are user accounts I've manually added into the service. So when you look at this, you can see that, hey, it's just on Microsoft accounts for those manual ones. And this database is shown in a number of different places. So for instance here, there's also this activedirectory.windowsazure.com deal if you want kind of another view of things, right? So you can see activedirectory.windowsazure.com. And there you can also see the users and groups that you have synchronized inside your environment. Wow, look at that. There's the same set of users. You can also likely go into Windows Intune, the Windows Intune console, and here you can see users, right? The same set of users that are there. Now, what I want to stress to you, and this is one question I also get a lot, one thing that's really important to point out, okay? If you go and you, let's say you have multiple cloud services you want. You have Office 365, you have Windows Intune, you have Dynamics CRM, or you want, let's say, even Windows Azure to synchronize to the same set of user database. Well, you need to be very sure that when you initially create that account, that you tack it on to your existing login. Because what will happen is, let's say you create three different trial accounts. You create a new trial and a new onmicrosoft.com account for your Intune service. You create also another onmicrosoft.com account for Office 365. At that point in time, you're going to now start to have multiple copies of the Windows Azure Active Directory database, and they're not going to be shared, right? And so log in when you add this trial or when you add the service as the existing Windows Azure Active Directory database you already have. It's really important. I got people who are confused, and they're like, I have the same user account, and it's synchronizing, what's going on? Well, you might have had that happen, right? And in which case, unfortunately, you just would have to back out, right, and reset that service up to synchronize to that same database. That kind of sucks. So that's your fair warning, right? If we want to go back, I can kind of continue forward on some things. The last one that's really important here, and I'm opening up the Windows Azure Management Portal. That's kind of relevant for what we're doing today, right? And in this case, what we can see is that we have, I was able to log in. In this case, right, I logged in using my corporate credentials. So what you can do is when you go into the settings, right, for administrators, all you need to do is just specify that organizational ID inside of your account in order to allow that person to sign in. That's a really handy thing to have. The other thing that sometimes I get asked, and I've spent a lot of time in support initially, like a long time ago, it was like a year and something ago, trying to figure out this scenario of how can I truly get a single sign-on? You notice I didn't type a password, I didn't do anything else. Well, within Internet Explorer, here's a little tip for all of you. If you go into security and you go to local intranet and you go to sites, okay, that local intranet zone, all right, it does not it's has specific settings to know to pass your credentials. All right, and if you do not do this, in this case, what I did is I specified my my ADFS service in the websites under my local intranet zone. What that does is enables it, the Internet Explorer, to automatically pass my local credentials onto whatever these services that use that site are. That's one tip. Hopefully, will save you a bunch of time in figuring out how to make that work. And with that, I think I'm going to snap back to the slides and kind of keep going. But just to reiterate the point, Windows Azure Active Directory, there's nothing more than that to see. You just have the users up in the web browser, and behind the scenes, there is this Active Directory database that's there for you to access, right? Okay.
You made that look really easy. Identity and Active Directory and everything always scares me, but I feel like I could kind of go through and set that up now.
Hey, well, the scary part is if you are about to do what I'm going to show you, it can be a bit scary trying to set up and wade through the loads of documentation that's out there on the ADFS piece. So if you go and you sign up for Office 365 or even start to search for, hey, how do I federate or how do I do ADFS federation for Active Directory? Yeah, you may get confused, you may get discouraged, you may get lost, and hopefully you come back to life afterwards. Yeah. But I realized this about a year ago when I was doing demos for the Consumerization of IT Foundation session last year at TechEd. And I was like, I had to go set this thing up again, and I just was like, let me please, like, figure this out. And I'm like pinging the product members and like trying to figure stuff out, and it's like, eventually, what I did is this Windows Azure Active Directory Quick Start Guide is I created this, which is about 1,500 lines of PowerShell code. I'm about to show you this here soon. And a guide of about 25 pages that says, what is it exactly you want to do? I sat down with the program managers and I said, what is the step that needs to happen first? And they'd kind of go back and forth. And then eventually, we got these ideal set of steps to make things happen. So I know I've even had people in the out there that says, "Oh, this says this on that page and that," and I'm like, "It works." Yeah. I know, I've tested it. Just go through the guide.
We know what it said. Just run the script.
Just run the script. Just go through it. You'll be fine. Okay.
Yeah.
So let's go back to the slides because there's a couple architecture things that I want to cover here real quick before we dig in.
And then are we going to have a look at the script?
We're going to walk through all 1,500 lines of that PowerShell code in the next 23 minutes.
And we'll be asking questions.
Okay. All right. The federation architecture, right? Because you kind of need to have a little bit of an idea of what really do you need to set up? Because looking at steps online and everything can be a little overwhelming. Let me break it down for you. You know, this is one sample scenario, kind of a common one, right? Where you've got an on-premise Active Directory, and you've got an ADFS and a dir sync box, right? That's set up in your environment. Well, the first thing to point out is, you know, if all you did was set up this ADFS federation and dir sync, you technically would have, you know, that single sign-on experience behind the corporate network or right in that same network as the ADFS server. For most things like that are on the web. Now, Outlook is a little different in the way it uses authentication, but in fact, this is what we did at the Foundation session about a year ago, because we had a rotating demo environment of a number of virtual machines. All we had was an ADFS and a dir sync box set up, so when we had our connections behind there, we could still do single sign-on to websites, right? And that's all good and well, and I think that was one big surprising thing for me. It was like, from a demo perspective obviously this wouldn't be a production, and I'll explain more about that in a later, but just from a functionality standpoint, you have most everything you need with just setting up a single box and dir sync. So there's that. But let's keep going and explain more. The next up thing that you need to do, though, really, is to get that full functionality is open up Windows Azure Active Directory and point it back into wherever that ADFS server is. Because remember, like I showed you earlier, in that federation architecture, right, that password, that token needs to happen somewhere. It needs to authenticate that user back to its source directory, right? So you need to kind of open that 443 or that SSL port back into that box. And at that point, technically, you know, with this diagram, you would have all the full functionality. But what what is the issue there, right? And we'll get into this here next. Well, the issue is a couple things. One is you'll notice the documentation out there that says, hey, you should have an ADFS proxy. I agree with that in the fact that, you know, your ADFS and DirSync box is probably, you know, it is going to be joined to the domain. So opening up SSL directly on the internet there is probably not the best idea from a security standpoint, right? I mean, ideally, you don't want to do that, although you can. It's possible, and I've done it myself. But, you know, that proxy server is going to be in a workgroup, right? It'll also help distribute load. So you might want to put in, you know, or ideally put in the proxy server. Some people say you have to have it. You know, some documentation will say that. Technically, everything works without it, but, you know, it's still a best practice to do that. Well, then here's the other issue, right? Well, what if the proxy server goes down? Or what if the ADFS server goes down? In a production environment, that's not good, right? In a production environment, if you have that ADFS proxy server or either one of those go down, your users are not authenticating, they're not logging in, they can't access the cloud service, that's bad, right? So you need to, that's why we say you should have a highly available architecture, in which case, right, you have a farm of proxy servers and you have a farm of the ADFS farm, and you can add additional servers pretty easily to that farm to scale out and load balance and all that stuff, right? Okay. This I'm going to have up there. I'm not going to dig into, but I'm not sure how old this is, but it is something to think about as far as the testing we did, I don't know, on 2008 servers some time ago. You know, we say that less than 1,000 users, we even say, hey, use one NLB server or load balance, basically those two DCs with ADFS on them. So it is possible to do that, and that is a supported scenario. Just, again, keep in mind that security issue there. Okay, well, what does it look like on Windows Azure? Because you can run Federation or this same architecture on Windows Azure. It is possible to do. Obviously, there's considerations there you need to have about availability and things like that, which we will dig into more later. But first here, right, I mean, you could have a Windows Azure subscription and those little dashed lines could be your cloud service perhaps, and have three machines, and at least in this case, you could have that working, right? You could also put two ADFS servers, proxy servers in front of that, and have that be a Federation service that you want in your environment. Now, if you do truly have on-premise, you probably have on-prem users, so in which case you're more than likely going to want to have a farm, an ADFS or ADFS proxy farm on-premise as well, because you want those users behind the corporate network to not have to rely on that VPN connection in order to do that Federation, right? So that is kind of what it would look like on Windows Azure. And what we're going to do now is show you a little bit about how to get that done using this Quick Start Guide. This is a really long title on the slide. Quick Start Guide for Integrating a Single Forest On-Premise Active Directory with Windows Azure AD. I put that on there. That's the title of the guide. But I do want to stress that the Quick Start is definitely not an all-comprehensive, all-like savior of the world script and guide.
Yes, it
because
is.
Okay. If you tell me so,
it is.
All right. Now, but
how can you have the words Quick Start in that big, huge title? That's awesome.
It is pretty awesome. Huh? I actually wasn't the one who I just didn't really care honestly too much on the title, but the people got a hold of it. That was the whole thing. So I said, all right, that's whatever. That does what the purpose I want it to. Right. The big thing I want to point out though, it is for a single forest. If you've got multiple forests, there's a lot more complexities that go on with Federation. Again, you want to look at them. You know, you get into the weeds pretty fast once you go multiple forest. But even if you have multiple domains inside of the same forest, this is still very applicable. And I think, you know, for a large percentage of customers, this should do the bill. And especially even if you're just doing a quick, you know, proof of concept or demo or something, this will really help you out, speed things up. Okay, so next, you know, what I want to tell you, what does this Quick Start Guide and script actually do? Well, the thing it does is it configures two Windows Server 2012 machines. It could be a virtual machine, could be, you know, run on Hyper-V. Could be a physical machine, could be a virtual machine in Windows Azure. It doesn't really care. It just needs Windows Server 2012. What it'll do is it'll configure a new ADFS farm. It'll install and configure DirSync. It'll also install and configure an ADFS proxy server for you and do everything from end to end what you would need to do to get things working. So those are kind of the components there, but effectively the script is really just configuring those two machines, the ADFS box, the ADFS proxy server, and all of the other steps that happen in the process. More specifically, these nine things are the high-level scenarios that it's doing, right? Because there's a number of things you need to do at the start, which is like add a domain to Windows Azure Active Directory, right? Activate directory synchronization. So there's a lot of steps that are here. What I want to point out is that you can, there is some flexibility. All the guide has been thoroughly tested end to end. I know, for instance, one of the things that I generally don't do when I just want to try and get something up and running quickly is configure the proxy servers, right? Just for demo environments, of course. But, you know, I just skip all of those steps and just continue on making things work and jumping between steps to do what I need to do to get it done. So as far as what I was going to show you here is kind of go through to give you a little sample, just so you get a feel for what's going on with the script and what's happening. I'm going to jump to this to a machine where I have Active Directory installed, and I have this script installed, and I'm just going to start going through some of the steps. So you just get the initial feel for what it looks like to use the script, and you could maybe give you a little more confidence to kind of get going on your own. All right, let's go back to my my demo environment here. Once it comes back for me, and we'll go to this Azure DC01. It looks like I'm getting a blue screen right now. Do we have any questions online for folks so far that want to ask things? If you go to the Q panel, we have...
I would, but I was told I was typing too heavy. So
you're typing too
I stopped typing too heavy
because everyone could hear me go. You were typing away, right? Yeah.
Trying to be helpful and just being noisy.
Yeah, okay.
I think the point to make is the steps look kind of like, there looks like there's a lot to it, right? You've got to set up the DirSync, there's proxies and all that kind of thing. But really, the reality is, this is serious stuff, right? This is the keys to everyone's identity within your organization.
Right.
So it's not just some Mickey Mouse throw up a box and high five everyone, we're done. There's
right.
a lot of thought
yes.
and there's a lot of security architecture and design got to be thought about and kind of configured. And it should never be a next, done.
Right. Unless you're doing it for just a
unless
proof of concept
a demo.
Proof
of concept, yeah.
Right, okay. Right. But the intention, the thing I wanted to stress is that when I started this process with the guide, I wanted to make it so that it is a foundation for what you could put out into production. Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's not like you're totally wasting your time here in getting going with this. It's also, you still understand the components that need to happen. So even if you were to try and do this manually, you still kind of have an idea of the flow of what's involved, right?
Yeah.
It looks like it's still trying to connect to my Azure DC. There we go. It looks like I'm able to log in now. All right, cool. All right, I've got this domain, this server, which is, I just labeled the domain name that I happened to already use, and it's a plain Jane image, other than it's got a DC on it, right? And this is a window, it resides inside of Windows Azure. And one of the first things you might want to do when you run the script is just turn off this IE-enhanced security configuration. If you don't, you're going to see the screen blank and whatever, and it'll turn it off for you, just because there's a number of things it does that it needs to work with that. But so why don't I go ahead and go into the script, and this is just something you download from online, which I'll give you the link to later. But I'm gonna type the script, and I'm gonna run it. You got this big old, you know, list of all these options, and it kind of looks scary with what's there. But as you start to use this thing, oh man, it is powerful. And as I've tried to go through, even just manually knowing the steps to do, I often start to revert back to the scripts because it just is a lot quicker to do. And it looks like my RDP is doing the same thing here. Kind of freezing up. Okay, so let's look to, oh, let's look to our queue here again while this thing is trying to reconnect up and kind of keep things going. So one of the things that I wanted to point out, and we could go back to the slide deck here. Why don't we just do that while waiting on that, try to reconnect, is let's go to this here. Okay, so what I'm going to do once this connection comes back for me is configure this this VM right in Windows Azure. It's got Active Directory on it. It's going to have ADFS on it, and it's going to synchronize up to Windows Azure AD, right? In which case, you have DirSync is activated. What happens there is you need to tell your Windows Azure Active Directory that you're going to it's going to expect a DirSync. It's just a kind of a flipping a bit type of thing, and that they say it can take up to 24 hours. So we do that using PowerShell. We enable that. You can also do it via the GUI. You also have to add your own custom domain name, right? You want to add your own domain name to synchronize. So we add it as a federated domain name because we know you're planning on doing a federation with that domain name. And that all happens pretty quickly inside of the script. The next thing you would need to do after that is to configure inbound access, inbound SSL access, right? Because you need that domain name to authenticate, right? And in this case, we see, thechristianborders.com is my domain name. And what I would do is I'd have, of course, a public IP address on your cloud service, right? So down there, you can see mycloudservice.cloudapp.net. It's got some form of public IP. What you would then do is go into your public DNS provider and choose, add the ADFS record, which is for the ADFS service. And what would happen then is now that you've added that, right, the Windows Azure AD knows where to look to do that authentication back into your ADFS service inside your domain, right? And one other thing I want to point out with this, this script, at least at this time, just to be aware of, is that even though we do the install of DirSync on Windows Server 2012, DirSync is not supported on SQL 2008 R2 Express, which is what installs as part of the package for DirSync today. Where it gets a little just weird is that SQL 2008 R2 Express SP1 is supported on Windows Server 2012, but unfortunately DirSync doesn't use that. Oh my God. So it's kind of, I've been definitely talking to the program manager, and they're definitely well aware that this is something that they want to do. They've got some other priorities that are a little more pressing, but eventually I know they're going to get around to supporting SQL 2008 R2 Express SP1, or possibly a newer one that's supported on Windows Server 2012 with the DirSync tool, right?
Awesome.
But yeah. But when you're finally done, right, what you'll have is this setup, right, where you've got using the script, again, it's not going to add an additional server to the farm, but that's really easy, actually. When you pull up the script, like fire up another VM, right, using a gallery image, join it to the domain, and then just, add the role and add to the farm, that goes pretty fast. Yeah. Like, the initial configuration is what takes a while, but you could add that in, and, effectively you'd have this whole setup and environment using the Quick Start Guide. Now, what are the times taken? I gave this sample. I'm not going to break this all down. But just to give you an idea of how long it might take you, some of you are right now starting to try and add up all of those actual times. Well, I've helped that out for you because basically about 20 minutes is what you could do. Now, this is assuming that you're not like painstakingly like waiting for every, this is like somebody who's just kind of clicking through and getting it done, right? Which obviously for a production environment, you're going to want to understand a little more what's going on, reading the guide, understanding the steps. But if you just want to get it done, it is possible to kind of knock this whole thing out in about 20 minutes. That's including the proxy server, the initial ADFS server, getting that done. Of course, certificate-wise, we have an ability to give you a self-signed certificate there, which will technically work inside of your environment. But if you're in a production environment, you're going to want to acquire a legitimate certificate.
Yeah.
In my case, for my environment, my production environment, I use it, I spent like $9, I think, on a cheap, really super cheap, like non...
$9 was it? Like,
yeah, it was like...
It's got duct tape on it, yeah, thing. Yeah. What do you get for $9?
$9, it's really...
2-bit encryption.
It's extremely verified by the Republic of Nowhere.
David.
The Republic of David, right? But it is possible, if you want a production cert, you've got the guide that's listed there for that. So why don't I try and here in a second go back and see if my RDP is going to be happy with me right now, and we'll see if we can show something there. And if not, then what I can do is at a bare minimum just give you an idea of what my my production service looks like and what that looks like inside of Windows Azure. So you just have an idea of what the final configuration looks like inside of Azure, and it looks like it's not going there. So what I'll do is I'll just switch over to showing you the what it looks like when it's all said and done. Right.
Sounds good.
So if you want to snap over to my machine right now, I can show you kind of this final configuration that I'm using today. And right again, I have the site to site. I've got Active Directory domain controller on my house and connecting back in. And I have these different machines that are listed here. Now, in my case, I'm only running the DCs as DCs, and then I have the DirSync and the ADFS mem boxes listed there. Those are member servers. DirSync naturally has DirSync on it. And by the way, it does work. And although I mentioned, hey, it's not officially supported and you won't want to run that production, DirSync does work. for whatever it's worth, right?
Just your RDP connection.
It just
doesn't work.
My RDP connection doesn't work right now. And I have those two machines in a farm. So let's pull up what it looks like from the endpoints perspective there. I've got these guys set up in, and this is a good segue, I think, for the some of the next sections talking about high availability. But what I have is, when I look at endpoints here, I've got ADFS set up with SSL, right? So here you can see that, because the requirement for inbound publishing is using SSL, and you can see that I've got 443, which is SSL. And then the other key thing right here is it's got load balanced is enabled. So if I go to edit the endpoint, what you'll see there is, right, that I have two boxes load balanced on SSL, so I have a highly available service, as well as I have those two in a availability set, right? So if I look at this here, I've got an availability set for those two VMs, so that way I get my 99.95 availability for the front end of my ADFS service. And I even, for me, because I don't have a ton of users, obviously, I just run extra small cores, seems to work fine for me. But, effectively, that's really, what I'm doing. It's not really terribly complex, right? I mean, the key things to think about is how do you load balance those endpoints, also enabling up that public DNS record, right, inside of the service. And those are the kind of the main things you need to have to run it up there inside of Windows Azure. Okay, I think we are pretty close to being done here. So let's, let me just double check this one thing. Yep. So I would say let's just wrap this. I mean, we probably will go ahead and give some additional time for questions, in the break. But I think we're going to take a 10-minute break right now.
Yeah.
And we will be back shortly.
Thank you.